Lord God, you would have us put no trust in anything we do. Mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now we join our voices again as we sing, If We But Trust in God to Guide You.
Our first lesson this evening, our Old Testament lesson, is from Genesis chapter 3, beginning in the first verse. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was there to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And so she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, and he said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, but I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this. Cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to the husband, but he will rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat all of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living things. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this evening is Psalm 32, and we will read verses 1 through 7 responsively. Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven,
and whose sin is put away.
Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no guilt,
and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away,
because of my groaning all day long.
Your hand was heavy upon me day and night.
My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you,
and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble.
When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
Our second lesson, our epistle reading for this evening, is a continuation of the thought that we had and God's direction in our first lesson in Genesis. Our epistle reading is Romans 5, and we begin in the 12th verse. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all men have sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one yet to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many had died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace by that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation of all men, so one act of righteousness leads to the justification of all men and life. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, grace and peace be with each one of you, my friends, from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. I say to you, choose life. In everything you do, choose life. You know, this is the first Saturday, first Sunday of Lent, and in the Gospel of Matthew, he's talking about, obviously, the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. And ever since this occurred and the story was written down, for generations, we have gone through this story. And the reason we go through this story, it is very pivotal. It is very pivotal to the claim that Jesus has upon each of our lives. It's easy when we go through these temptation stories to associate with Jesus in his temptations because of the struggles that we ourselves have found ourselves and the temptations that we find that we encounter. And so it is during Lent, the 40 days, when we take out of our busy schedule and we really get connected to Jesus and look at what he went through for you and I, as we also reflect upon our own lives in some solitude and some humbleness. You see, Jesus, he was preparing himself not only for this temptation, but he was preparing himself to get to Jerusalem, where eventually he would be crucified. The gospel story of the temptation, Jesus is engaging all the world powers. The world powers that are normally working behind the scenes. And that's why we have the encounter with the devil. You know, the powers of this world, most of us realize that there's a great resistance of the forces, and largely they're uncontrollable. And they hold people hostage and captive to the institutions and the systems that are all around us that carry us along. Forces that oftentimes promote life when, in fact, they lead to death. The powers of the world, they always seek to render us powerless, especially when we compare our little lives to all the things that are happening in the world. I think of the powers, and I can't help but think of Russia and Ukraine. You know, we think we don't want war. But it seems like year after year after year, there's more war and there's more bodies piling up. Or the powers of the world will say, you know, we really don't like homelessness, but they never seem to do anything about it. Or the powers of the world say, you know what, we have enough food in our world that we can feed everyone, and no one should be hungry, especially in well-to-do countries like our own. But yet we have people that go hungry. These are the powers that say, I am not really living, but simply being driven along by forces that are beyond my control. You see, these powers of this world are characterized by domination and by violence. And they relentlessly seek out to have their own way, even if they have to cause death of innocent people. You see, these are the temptations that Jesus was encountering, the temptations of the world. And these are the temptations, these are the powers that eventually crucified him. In the first temptation that I read in our gospel text for tonight, Jesus said no. He said no to the power of his own survival. Think of that. The devil came and gave him a rock and said, come on, turn this into bread. Turn this into bread. Jesus said, no. I'm not going to be tempted. I'm not going to use my own power to save my own self. And Jesus then uses scripture against the devil. He said, devil, no one can live by bread alone, but they live by the word of God that is spoken from God's mouth. You see, I think the devil was thinking back to the time when they were, the Hebrew people were out in the wilderness, right? And they wanted food. So what did God provide them with? Manna. And they wanted manna and they wanted manna. So I think the devil was playing this little trick on Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, the temptation that you're tempting me with has nothing to do with this kind of bread. In this wilderness experience that I'm going through, what is required of me is faith and obedience to the will of God. And so Jesus does not yield his body or his soul to the false security of the powers of the world. Jesus knows that people, we can suffer if we eat too much bread, right? Right? What happened to the people in the wilderness? They wanted to hoard it, right? It was not good for them. You see, if Jesus yields to this temptation of turning a stone into bread for his own survival, then there is no need for the cross that would ultimately give you and I life. The second temptation, the devil invites Jesus to actually tempt God. Come on, Jesus, if you throw yourself down, the angels are going to come and they're going to pick you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And if you do it and all these people are watching you, you can prove to them that you are the Son of God. You see, this is the power that the world seems to use best. Claiming God is on their side. Making their own power, their own political ends, their own way of seeing the world as if God supports it. You see, the devil tries to outsmart Jesus by using the tradition of using scripture to hold your argument, right? And that's kind of a warning to you and I. We really need to know Scripture, because Scripture in the wrong hands of different people can cause a lot of damage to what the will of God is. Once again, if Jesus would have said yes to the devil, there would be no need for the cross, which ultimately leads to the life for us. The third temptation is a political one. The devil brings him up to the high temple. He goes, look at all this. You can have all of this, Jesus, if you submit to me, if you worship to me. And we can take all this by power and by domination. Again, Jesus says, no. You see, if Jesus would have followed again the lead of the devil, yeah, he would have been king. King of kings in the earthly court, right? But Jesus refuses to be of this world of domination and violence. And so the only weapon that Jesus uses is he uses the Word of God. And the only sword he uses is the sword of the Spirit. You know, Martin Luther, as we studied him, because we're Lutherans, right? We know Luther pretty well. When he was tempted, he turned to the Word of God. And he wrote that great hymn that we sing always at Reformation Sunday, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And this is what he wrote in verse 3. "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." Jesus says no to the temptation of violence and domination. Again, had Jesus not said no, there would have been no need for the cross that ultimately gives you and I life. Today's gospel is very important for us to understand as we are on our Lenten journey, because we see in it the resistance of Jesus to the powers of this world. You see, the temptations happened when Jesus was baptized. And immediately after he was baptized, he was put out into the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil. And all the powers of the world came after him. But we know that all these powers, all they end up leading to is death. And Jesus, as we know, is the only one that gives life. The gospel story of the temptations of Jesus are foundational for you and I, for all that lies ahead. You see, when we look at all the temptations, we see pretty clearly the conflict that's going on. The conflict between the ways of the world and the ways of God. The conflict between the way of death and the way of life. The conflict between the way of darkness and the way of life. And at the center of all this conflict stands the cross of Jesus Christ that ultimately gives you and I the gift of life now and for eternity. These days of Lent, we live as we follow Jesus and as we contemplate our own lives, but we go from the temptation to the crucifixion, and Jesus resists every single temptation. I want you to look for that. He resists every single temptation. Because he looked at those as being a stumbling block, getting in the way of ultimately giving you and I life. All of us struggle with the powers of this world. If I sat down and had a conversation with every single one of you, you would say, yep, this is what I struggled with. And all of us, as Jesus knows, he knows that, you know, it's easier to choose the easiest way out, to choose power and violence and dominion instead of reconciling ways. All of us know, as Jesus knows, that it's easier to pick up that lifeless stone and hurl it at somebody versus really giving them the bread of life. Can't help but think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You know, in Germany, they were an advanced society, right? World War II, very advanced. A lot of smart people. Lots of Lutherans there, right? Who would ever think that their country would get taken over by Nazism, by the devil? But they did. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer had the word of God. Many times he was tempted by the powers of the Nazi regime to submit, but he wouldn't. He would not submit to the domination and the violence that the Nazis were inflicting on everybody. So we're thankful for Dietrich Bonhoeffer for doing that, right? To me, thank God he was a Lutheran. You stood up to the powers. Now, this example might be a little weird, but Mohammed Gandhi. I don't know if you've read about Mohammed Gandhi, but in his country, there was definitely a class system. And they were, his people were always being put down. But you know what? He had read the Bible. And he followed what Jesus did. And he started that nonviolence. And he changed the world. He changed their predicament. The one phrase that I'll always remember is he said this. You know, I would have led 6 million Indians to Christianity if the Christians in my world would have practiced what they preached. Think of that. What I find interesting is God works through all kinds of different people if you let God and the gospel penetrate your heart. One person, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one person, Mohammed Gandhi, changed the world. You know, a lot of times people think that we don't have power, but I read recently that if only 3% of the world, if they change their way of living, they can change the world. 3%. So we have a lot of power, my friends. So I say to you, holy friends, as we walk these great 40 days, from the temptation of Jesus to the crucifixion, I bid that you walk gently and with a very, very open heart. Listen for Jesus. Jesus will call out to you as he makes his way from the temptations to the cross. Jesus will call out to you from the cross. And amidst the death and the domination and the violence, you will hear his voice, and he will say to you and encourage you, choose life. Choose life, my friends. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help each of us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weakness of each of us, let each one of us find you mighty to save through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join our voices as we will be singing, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. I invite you to please rise and let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the prayers of the church.
And now let us pray for the faithfulness of the church, the life of the world, and for all those in need. Heavenly Father, we know that you discipline those you love and you guide sinners in doing what is right. We pray that you take away our selfish will so that we might live according to your divine will. Open our ears to hear you speaking to us so that we would repent from seeking our own ways and turn to you for forgiveness and mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, as we travel this Lenten journey to the cross, let us be ever mindful of our desperate need for your mercy and grace. Through your Spirit, inspire us to hunger for your word of life and teach us to show forth in our lives what we confess with our lips. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Spirit, open our hearts and come into it that we may see those in need and to care about them in that need, that we may gather ourselves to reach out in friendship and prayer to give as we have received. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of compassion, we wait upon your mercy, trusting that you never forget us. Give hope to all who wait in patience and faith in the midst of troubled times. And now we pray especially for those we name before you, either silently or aloud.
Ruth and Judy.
Lord, you will be with them as our prayer in their time of need, and there's so many in our congregation and our church family that need your helping hand every day. Enable us to help them. Remind us all of your promise that neither height nor depth, death or life, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. In your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to please rise and let us join as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. I say this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us join our voices as we sing, O Jesus, I have promised.